President Barack Obama's nominee for Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner won Senate confirmation on January 26th after controversial revelations that the former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York had failed to pay $50,000 in taxes and interest over 4 years. Geithner was sworn into his new post as some of the largest U.S. corporations, including Caterpillar, Sprint Nextel, Microsoft, and Home Depot, announced plans to lay off at least 75,000 workers in the U.S. and around the world. The unemployment rate for December increased to 7.2%, nearly a 16-year high, with fears that the continuing housing meltdown and falling stock market could usher in a 9% unemployment rate or higher by the end of the year. In what economists declare as the nation's longest recession in 25 years, President Obama and his economic team will be working to secure congressional passage of their proposed $825 billion stimulus package and allocate the second half of a $700 billion bank rescue program. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with economist Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research and author of the book Plunder and Blunder, The Rise and Fall of the Bubble Economy. Baker assesses Obama's economic team's approach to arresting and reversing America's worst financial crisis since the Great Depression, as well as the corporate media's failure to effectively cover economic issues.
Well, I think it's a mixed bag. I'm happy with the stimulus package. It's not big enough, but it's a very good first start. So my hope is that they pass it quickly, and it will certainly be a benefit. It will stop some, or slow at least, some of the contraction. The stimulus is a good start, but there's a lot of other issues, and they're going to have to go beyond that. $800 billion sounds like a lot of money, but that's over 2 years. Relative to the size of the economy, it's less than 3%. Not trivial, but given the size of the downturn, we saw the fallout in construction activity due to the collapse of the housing bubble was over $400 billion a year. And then on top of that, we're losing perhaps as much as $500 or $600 billion a year in consumption annually. So that's not going to be enough to replace it. So we're talking about a good start, a lot of good things you could say, but we really have a very, very big problem. And the question is whether they'll be aggressive in rising to the occasion.
I wanted to ask you, Dean Baker, about your book, Plunder and Blunder, The Rise and Fall of the Bubble Economy. The roots of the current financial crisis are laid out there. And a lot of it you lay at the foot of conservative or neoliberal deregulatory policies, under Republican and Democratic administrations. But if you were to put it in a nutshell in terms of the message there of what caused this financial collapse, how would you frame it?
Well, there's a lot of things that go into it, but what I would say first and foremost is that the Federal Reserve Board has responsibilities for preventing asset bubbles like the stock bubble that we saw in the 90s and the housing bubble that we saw in this decade, and they have all the tools they need to prevent it. And it was a conscious decision on the part of the leadership of the Federal Reserve Board. Alan Greenspan in particular stands out as the chair during this whole period, to just let the stock bubble grow. And he says this, by the way. I mean, he openly says this. He thinks it was the right thing. Maybe he no longer thinks that, but he at least until fairly recently thought it was the right thing, just let the stock bubble grow and it'll burst and no big deal. And whether he saw the housing bubble or not, my guess is he did. But in any case, they made the decision to let it grow, whether it's because they didn't see it and they didn't know better, or they did see it and he thought it was cute. It was incredible negligence. It's hard to imagine a more wrong-headed economic decision than just to let these asset bubbles grow, particularly a housing bubble. I cannot imagine what was going through his head and thinking if he saw the bubble and thought it was a good idea to let it grow. So there were a lot of other things that went along with this. There were financial deregulation issues that they allowed the banks to get hugely overleveraged. They let derivative instruments like credit default swaps go unregulated. They let the abuses in the mortgage market, which were easy to see. This is not 2020 hindsight. You almost had to try not to see those abuses. He let those pass unchecked. So it was just an incredible amount of regulatory failure that could have at least limited, if not prevented, the damage altogether. But it was a conscious decision to ignore it.
Dean, what about media coverage? Obviously, the kind of string throughout a lot of our discussion tonight is the media got it wrong, and the media does a real disservice to our country in not going all out to get us, you know, good analysis and information about economic issues in general, and specifically about what's just happened in terms of this economic collapse. How could media do a better job?
Well, it would help if they just thought a little bit about what they were trying to do. I don't know how many times I talked to a lot of reporters, and I think many of them are conscientious, but some of them, they just don't use any common sense. I had a reporter with one of the major newspapers, and not a young one, not someone who just started out, who asked me a couple years ago about whether I thought David Lira, who was the chief economist with the National Association of Realtors, whether I thought he was biased. And I almost didn't know what to say to this person. He works for the realtors. I mean, I don't, you know, I know David Lira. I don't have anything against him. I don't think he's a particularly bad guy. But his job was to work for the realtors. They were asking me whether I thought he was biased. Well, it's his job to be biased. He's not there to give them information about the housing market. He's there to try and make the housing market look good. And I just think that there'd be a little common sense here, and very often there isn't. And reporters just don't take seriously that they have an obligation to try to present information to their audience. And if they just thought about that for a minute, then I think we'd have a lot better reporting. But, say, they do what they do. They talk to those in power and just write down very often, almost verbatim, what those in power want to see presented to the public. And they never scrutinize it. They don't think, is this really accurate? And they don't try and say, how can we make sure that we're doing the best we can to inform our audience?
That was Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research and author of the book Plunder and Blunder, The Rise and Fall of the Bubble Economy. Contact the center at area code 202-293-5380 or visit their website at cepr.net.